Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, on this Tuesday night, the Tuesday night edition. A few of you people obviously heard me earlier today in the day show, and it seems right after I got off the air, we had some breaking news that happened, or supposedly happened. It seems that we are fingering Iran now. We're fingering Iran for a terror plot. Supposedly they were going to kill the Saudi ambassador, Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States. And, you know, we've been trying to get something like this put in place for a long time, okay? A long time. We've been wanting to go in Iran for even before we went into Iraq. Iran was one of the major goals, okay? They're sitting on more oil than anybody, okay? And basically, you know, this is if you can't see through this, that this is a bunch of bull, I mean, come on, guys. The only people that are buying this are the same people that think Osama bin Laden still did 9/11. I mean, come on. Do you really think that the Iranian government got caught trying to do this? Or do you think we're just trying to get an excuse to go in there? And obviously, they're already saying it's an act of war. And isn't it ironic that when they went to have the hit put out, they hired a Mexican drug cartel to do it, and they happened to be FBI agents? Isn't that just ironic? I find that hilarious. I find it hilarious seeing Holder up on TV talking about how they need to be held accountable. What about you? What about you? I bet he's loving this right now. This was probably all part of his idea, too. He's loving this right now. Does this take the heat off him or what? Jesus. You know, we got to call this for what it is, guys. And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. When I got off the air, I had a class tonight, and I didn't even really get to do any show prep. I just got home at like 9:30, ran in the door. So I haven't really seen that much on it. But, I mean, even without looking at it, it doesn't pass the sniff test. I mean, really. It does not pass the sniff test, okay? Yeah, I guess supposedly they're saying they paid $1.5 million to have this hit done. And, you know, thank goodness they came and foiled the plot again. Thank goodness. You know, they don't really foil any plots. It's either, like we talked about earlier, they're either setting somebody up, the FBI, okay, giving them bombs, giving them targets, giving them detonators, setting up even a fake mosque to bring them in and brainwash them and all that, okay? Or they just make stuff up. It's like throwing spaghetti to the wall and seeing what sticks. You think this is going to stick? I don't know. Doesn't even really matter if it sticks with the way we are these days. I mean, we'll just go over there anyways. I mean, who's going to tell us no, right? That's just what we're going to do. You know, there's some other things that about Iran, too, that you know, they don't like. For one thing, their leader, the leader of Iran, I can't even pronounce his name if I tried. It is, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Ahmadinejad or something like that. Well, the leader of Iran, okay, he...
Ahmadinejad.
Ahmadinejad. What's his first name?
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Okay, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Okay, he's very outspoken about, you know, all of our, you could say, unprovoked invasions of countries. You know, he's outspoken about 9/11, and he's stood up at meetings at the UN. He stood up and said that, you know, 9/11 was us, that it was pulled off by us, and, you know, it was all just a bunch of bull. And, you know what we did for a response to that? The two people we had there representing us, I mean, I don't know who the two politicians were or whatever, but they got up and they walked out of the meeting like a couple of crybabies. It did. This guy started talking about 9/11. They got up and walked out of the meeting because they didn't want to even face anything to do with that, okay? The reason I'm bringing this up is just that's just another reason why they hate this guy. I'm not saying they're invading him because of that or anything like that, but that's just another thing where, you know, you got to think about that too. I mean, the guy speaks the truth, so they hate him. That's the policy of this country. You speak the truth, you're either hated, you're invaded, you're crazy, you're loony, you're locked up, you're a terrorist, an extremist. What else? What else are you if you tell the truth? You're a conspiracy theorist, you're a nut job, you're wacky, yeah. So pretty much all of that. you know, I can't wait to see some more on this. I mean, I want to know what's going on with this. I want to know specifically. Justin, if you're still there, did you hear about how close they came to actually getting this pulled off? Was this still just, like, in the plans, or, like, you know, did they actually have, like, guys on the street ready to go? I don't think he's here, guys. But anyways, if anybody wants to call in and talk about this, all right, our phone number tonight's 772-905-3018. 772-905-3018. I say tonight, that's every night, of course. If you're on the Skype, of course, you can Skype in. Why don't you guys tell us what you think about Iran, okay? You know, we've been waiting to do this for a long time. Now, could the timing be more perfect for them? I mean, you know, they're ready for another war, basically, is what I'm trying to say, you know? They're ready. They're ready for another war. They need it. That's what they are. They're warmongers. They are warmongers. It won't be long. It won't be long till we end up going into Iran, okay? They've been setting the stage for this for a long, long, long time. Michael, you have anything you want to say on Iran real quick?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you got, buddy?
According to the letters of Albert Pike to Giuseppe Mazzini in 1871, the whole thing going on over there in the Middle East, where they're taking over all these countries surrounding Israel to make and putting in some sort of quote unquote radical Muslim in charge of it, of each of these, is because, according to Albert Pike, the Third World War, he planned out all three world wars, and the first two went off exactly the way he had planned. The third one is said to be between the Nation of Islam and the Nation of Israel. I believe that Iran, whether they actually do it or it's a false flag and blamed on Iran, is going to be the spark to the powder keg to set off World War III.
And do you feel, as I do, that pretty much this whole, everything in the Middle East has pretty been about encircling Iran this whole time? I mean, Iran's been
encircling Israel.
Yeah, and it's been one of their targets before Iraq and Afghanistan. They wanted to be in Iran.
Yeah, well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have to get rid of Ahmadinejad because the man's too much awake.
We were just talking about that while you were gone. I was just telling everybody out there how he spoke about 9/11 at the UN, and we did not like it at all. We stormed out like a couple of crybabies.
Yeah, well, the other reason I believe that they stormed out is because if any of the rest of the world in the UN decided to ask them questions, they didn't have to feel any questions.
Exactly, exactly. That's what one of my friends was actually just saying, same thing. They didn't want to field any questions on it. And it's not just that. He's spoken out about a lot of stuff. And what do we know? What do we know if he's this big, bad, evil guy? He might just be another guy running his country.
He might be just another Gaddafi.
Just like Gaddafi, exactly. Another guy that the people love, that has a lot of good things going for his country, gives a lot of money back, and, you know, we're just done with him, so we're ready to take him out. And this is part of that. I mean, this doesn't pass the sniff test for 1 minute.
Well, yeah, and, you know, if they take Ahmadinejad out and they put in a radical in there, then, yeah, of course they're going to attack Israel. And I still think that it's all... Even if they don't attack Israel, I think that something will happen to make it look like Iran attacked Israel.
Yeah,
I almost thought that the spark was set with the deal between Israel and Egypt.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to set it off, but I was watching that. Because especially right after that happened, they went real quiet about anything over there for a while.
Yeah. Well, now they don't. I mean, if they want, I mean, they don't even need Israel to get involved. If they want to start off World War III, I mean, they can just start bombing Iran now. They're already calling it an act of war. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see them start carpet bombing the place in a week.
No, it'll be an attack against Israel, and I'll tell you why. Because they want to make Israel look like the martyrs.
Okay.
Israel's not going to attack somebody outright. They want somebody to attack them.
Yeah.
Why do you think Mossad is in control of Hamas? Hamas attacks back, sits there and shoots rockets over into Israel, and doesn't hit a damn thing, but yet they have surgical strikes going back into Hamas, or into Palestine, or the Gaza Strip.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've seen videos of a school bus sitting there getting hit by a Hamas rocket, but there's nobody in it.
So it's basically they're all just, it's all for show with them.
Exactly.
It's like another Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Well, it's Mossad's version of Al-Qaeda for their own little personal thing.
Yeah.
Even though Mossad is also in with the CIA on Al-Qaeda.
Oh, absolutely. And most of Al-Qaeda is just basically the CIA's Rolodex.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, as I said in your last show, isn't it funny how we're trying to kill them in Afghanistan, but yet we're backing them in Libya.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people still don't believe, even though that's been said over the mainstream news and everything, a lot of people still don't believe that. I had a friend that was like, oh, it's great. This was like a few weeks ago or a month ago or whatever. Oh, it's great. The rebels are going to get Gaddafi. But I'm like, first of all, why is that great? And second of all, you know, and this is a person that still doesn't believe, you know, what really happened on 9/11. He still thinks Osama bin Laden did it. And I'm like, well, you do know that those are the people that you think killed your 3,000 fellow citizens, don't you? Those are the same very people that you're cheering on right now. I hope you know that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, we can even go back further to the embassy bombings in Egypt.
Yep.
And the Marine barracks bombings. Al-Qaeda was blamed for that one.
And the USS Cole, they blamed bin Laden.
Yep.
You remember that?
That wasn't him.
Yeah.
Here's my point, though. It was bin Laden's construction company that did the rest of the demolition and rebuild on the embassy and the barracks.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, if that doesn't
they build the things, they knock them down, and they rebuild them.
Yeah. If that doesn't show somebody that these guys are in or being controlled by our own people here, our own government, then I don't know what does.
Some people just don't want to pit. They want to brush everything off as a conspiracy theory when really everything you're telling them usually is a conspiracy fact. And you try and tell people that bin Laden used to be a CIA asset, they think you're loopy or something. They're like, you got a guy. What do you mean? We'll tell you his name. His name was Tim Osman.
Yep. I tell people that all the time. Go look up Tim Osman.
It's unbelievable you try and tell people. Yeah, guys, for anybody out there that's listening that doesn't know, yes, Osama bin Laden was a CIA asset, and when he was in the United States, he went under the name Tim Osman, okay?
And by the way, he got to tour every single major military base we had in this country.
He absolutely did. And, guys, for people that don't know, George W. Bush's very first oil company was started with money that came directly from the bin Ladens. It went through one person's hands, one person that invested bin Laden's money for them, and he put it into George Bush's first oil company, guys, okay? Those families are tight, like you don't even know. The Bushes and the bin Ladens, yes, they are tight. When George Bush used to go there, they used to stay at his house. The senior did. But even on September 11th, George Bush Sr. and bin Laden's brother were having a meeting for the Carlyle Group.
Yeah.
Which is another story all in itself. You want to talk about making money off war, I mean, that's what it's all about, people. It's all about big defense contracts. It's all about, you know, just a few people getting those contracts. People like the Carlyle Group, people getting contracts like Halliburton, not even having a bid for contracts. They just go in and get all the contracts in Iraq. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, man. It really is. What else?
I think it's just really ridiculous on that. You know, trying to wake people up. I'll tell you what. I've got two sayings that go along with what you're just saying, man. One of them is the funny thing about people with their head in the sand. And Justin's heard me talk about this one before. Funny thing about people with their head in the sand is that they have their butt sticking up in the air to be kicked, and they have no idea where it came from.
What's the other one?
Hold on here. I got to rethink because we got talking about something and it kind of slipped my mind real quick. Shoot. It'll come to me again. I'll tell you when I remember it.
All right.
I use it all the time, too. I'm sorry. I'm tired. I've been to my son's last football game for this season and come back here and trying to get things ready and do, you know, kind of do some stuff for my own show and.
No, that's fine. So, guys, listen, we are probably going to be close, you know, maybe to getting into another war. So don't think it's you know, going to end with Afghanistan and Iraq, because it's going to be Iran soon. And they've been, you know, they've been waiting to do that. They have just been waiting to do it. And there's no way that this terror plot is real. I mean, this thing just didn't exist. Just like 99% of the terror plots that you guys hear about don't exist. They just don't. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. It's just all bogus. It's bogus, bogus, bogus.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess
I thought it was hilarious. You know, I mean, I heard Justin on one of his recorded shows that was on earlier today. He was talking about TSA, and then he got into the underwear bomber, and I thought it was hilarious that you see Obama up there talking about how, oh, if we'd have had these scanners, because it was back when the turmoil over the scanners started. Yeah. You know, well, if we'd have had these scanners back then, maybe we would have caught the underwear bomber. Well, no, you wouldn't have, because he got escorted completely past security to begin with.
Yep.
By past CIA.
Security. Yep. By a CIA agent, and he had no passport, guys, okay? They brought him up to the ticket counter and said, we got to get this guy on the plane. We do this sort of thing all the time. And the woman was not going to let him on the plane, obviously. And, you know, she was told to go get her manager, and she did. And then this guy, the underwear bomber, Mutalib, who is actually in court right now, that he was actually escorted on the plane by a U.S. agent. And not only that, as if that's not enough, that he was witnessed being escorted on the plane with no passport, they even go as – it makes me want to kick my TV when I hear them say it. They even go as far as to say this guy was controlled by Anwar al-Awlaki. Well, that just means that he was controlled by them, because al-Awlaki is their guy. Al-Awlaki's been their guy, the supposed number three Al-Qaeda guy, supposed mastermind of 9/11, all this crap, yada, yada, yada. 5 months after 9/11, where is he? Where is he? He's secretly meeting at the Pentagon with the Secretary of our Army as an honorary guest. 5 months after 9/11, when he was already blamed as a mastermind, supposedly killing 3,000 people, and then he's secretly meeting at the Pentagon, okay? And then they take all these plots, the Fort Hood shooter, right? The Portland thing, the Christmas Day the underwear bomber, the Times Square bomber, they all say they're linked to al-Awlaki. They all say they exchanged emails with al-Awlaki or took directions from him, or he talked to them at a mosque, this, that, and the other thing. And al-Awlaki is a U.S. CIA asset. He's an agent. He's a double agent. Yeah, or something along that lines. He works for us. He might work for other people too, but he works for us. And when they say he works for al-Qaeda, that means he works for us too. You guys got to understand that. When they work for al-Qaeda, that means they work for us. That's what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole al-Awlaki thing makes me mad, because it's so obvious and in your face. You know what I mean? That one right there is so obvious and in your face that guy's a controlled asset. And I don't know how people buy any of that. And then they go around. They should just shut their mouths and stop linking all these people to them, because it makes them look stupid and less believable. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this guy was run by al-Awlaki.
One thing about these elite, if they don't like somebody, they'll just, and I did say this on your earlier show, you know, if they put them in power, whatever, it goes to the old adage that your dad told you, I brought you into this world, I can take you out.
Yep.
And that's exactly the way these people think. I put you in power, I can take you out.
And they think they have the right to just do that, and they do it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And nobody sees it. People over here think it's peace. It'll be a humanitarian effort when we go kill this guy.
Oh, we just got rid of another terrorist.
Yeah, we got rid of some more terrorists trying to defend their land.
Kind of ties in with what Chomsky was saying in that video last hour, too, is Oh, we didn't. It's not even murder to them, right? It's, oh, we didn't kill them. We just took out some garbage. You know, yeah. They kill people like we put on a shirt.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And you know what really bothers me is, you know, it's one thing if they do it. It's just, it bothers me how bad people are blinded and they don't see it at all. And like, they really call it peace. They give this friggin' guy Nobel Peace Prizes. You believe this crap, man? You guys believe this? What do you guys think about that? Giving this guy peace prizes before he goes and invades the whole friggin' world. Is that not a psyop if you've ever seen one? What the hell is that?
Well, look, how can you trust anything of the Nobel deal anymore?
I mean, no,
they give Obama a peace prize for doing nothing. They give Al Gore a peace prize for a freaking lies.
Scamming everybody, yeah.
You know, I mean,
Kissinger 112 in 72.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, so Kissinger wins one, and he's a child sex trafficker. To the presidents, no less.
Right, and not only that, but how many covert wars has Kissinger run? You know, never mind upfront ones.
Oh God, only
all
knows.
Of them.
How many huge drug dealers have they taken out that didn't want to, you know, launder their money through their banks or whatever? You know what I mean?
I would say about all of them since during the JFK administration, yeah. He was still behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So
that's the scary part, and people all have no idea as these people behind the scenes like Kissinger and people of that ilk, they don't get elected every 4 years, people. Those are the people that are really making most of the decisions. Those are the people with the strategies. Those are the people that have the pull. It's, you know, the most of the people that you're elected in every four or every, you know, if they stay for two terms every 8 years, like some of the presidents, they're really just glorified puppets. I mean, they really are. And you saw what happened to the last guy who didn't want to be a puppet, all right? That was JFK, I feel, at least. I don't know what your guys' opinion is on that. I know there's a lot of theories, like he didn't want to go into Vietnam, and they didn't. Of course, that was one of the reasons. And the whole thing
I agree with you there, Bob.
The whole thing about Cuba when he didn't want to send the guys back down there. After they failed the first time, that's a big
thing. What's a big thing too, Brian, is about the, you know, they failed the first time because the generals went against him and didn't give him no air cover, you know, for the whole thing, so it would be blamed on him and look
exactly.
Bad. And after that,
yep.
You know, so I mean, they obviously,
yeah. Yeah, they left him there. They left him hanging out to dry, and I just feel like. There were probably a lot of other things we're not even bringing up right now. I just feel in general, I think he wanted to be a good president and actually be for the people. They were not having that. Along with everything else.
Well, here's the thing, is the Kennedys are actually one of the elite bloodlines. So JFK knew exactly what their agendas were. He wanted nothing to do with it. Yep. Neither did Robert.
Yep.
Right.
And the Bushes hated them. I mean, they were like arch enemies of them. They hated that. They hated the Kennedys.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of that was Prescott Bush's jealousy.
Yeah, of Joe, right?
Yeah. And Prescott, actually, he did it the real old-fashioned way. He married in.
Yeah.
Where JFK was all their family is a bloodline, and Prescott Bush had to marry his way in.
I want to say something about Prescott real quick for everybody listening. Everybody listening out there, Prescott Bush, okay? George Bush's grandfather, okay? He actually tried to overthrow this government, okay, with retired soldiers. He had 500,000 soldiers in this plan that he was going to build.
Smedley Butler.
Yeah, and he they had Rankin and generals and everything that were going to run it, and they were going to go to Washington and overthrow this government. And you know, and not only that, the guy was a huge Nazi supporter. He was a big time Nazi funder. He helped to the rise of the Third Reich. And so what they
he sold the steel to make the ovens or the crematoriums at Auschwitz.
Unbelievable. Yep, you heard what Michael said. He sold the steel for the ovens, okay? And I'm sure there were some other contributions that he gave. And so what did they do? Is they took his assets and everything, right? Well, when the war was over, they gave everything back to him. everything back. And not only that, all right, think about everything this guy just did, all right? Helped in the rise of the Third Reich. He tried to overthrow this government with 500,000 soldiers. Think about that. That is a serious coup, okay? And then what do? They make his son and his grandson president. I think that's funny, man. I gotta laugh about that. That pot still cracks me up, man. You try and overthrow the country and we make your kid and your grandkid president? That just goes to show you how you're so right about the bloodlines and the families and the elite. And you really are totally selected for that. I mean, it's ridiculous. And to think about, who was it? Was it Kerry and Bush? They were both Bohemian Grove members and they were both running at the same time. No, like, what's the odds of that?
Both Skull and Bones members.
Yeah, which is even more elite, mm-hmm. right? Which plus, is even more.
Plus, they're both related to each other.
Yeah.
Right. Cousins.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
They just are related to each other.
That's unbelievable.
They're also, both of them and Obama, are related to Prince Charles.
I've heard that.
The Merovingian bloodline.
That's crazy stuff, man. So how many of these bloodlines are there, supposedly, of these elite bloodlines?
13. There's a couple more that are quite influential in the whole thing, but they're not actually one of the bloodlines.
Yeah, I understand there's like 300 subfamilies.
There's the, okay, Reynolds is one.
Disney.
Disney's another big one, yeah. Vanderbilt. He was never one of the bloodlines, but he was definitely in big with those guys.
I thought you were naming the ones that weren't bloodlines, but still part of.
Right. That's what I was naming.
Okay, these families have done a lot of breeding with each other, right? Thinking they're going to make like superhumans, and they ended up making far less than super people.
Carnegies.
That's what happens with inbreeding. Yeah,
but the way they disappeared kind of was because of the Rockefeller. That's how the Rockefellers right. got their way in. Right. Was they Carnegie married Steel. Into the Carnegies? Mm. And they were actually brought in. Here's something else that might be interesting to you. There were a bunch of heads of the bloodlines that were on the Titanic. By invitation of J.P. Morgan, who is a agent of the Rothschilds.
Oh yes, I want to talk about this.
J.P. himself was supposed to be on that ship, but at the last minute didn't show up.
Yep, I know.
You had John Jacob Astor on there. You had the Guggenheims.
Yep, Benjamin Guggenheim and Isaac Strauss.
And
those are the three
not just
main
Benjamin
people.
Guggenheim, but his son was with him.
Right.
His firstborn son.
They a lot of things, like when they were sinking, they had the wrong color flares, and they shot white flares instead of red flares in the sky, so nobody would turn go and help them. And there was a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, I know about J.P. Morgan. He was supposed to be on that boat, and then at the last minute he didn't. And then after that happened, didn't they, pretty much take the insurance money from that and start the Federal Reserve the next year?
Pretty much. The
timing, it looks pretty.
Astor was against the Federal Reserve too. So was Guggenheim. They were against.
Yeah,
that's
one of the reasons they were probably put on that boat, right? And then didn't J.P. Morgan and didn't Prescott Bush help him start the Federal Reserve?
No, the Federal Reserve that was started and owned by the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Warburgs, and J.P. Morgan.
Yep. And they did it in 1917, didn't they?
13.
And that was 1 year after the Titanic, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking they must have just kind of rolled that all into it. It was,
and the whole thing, too, is, of course, we had the boat captain, Edward Smith, was a Jesuit. And he had a Jesuit priest come in and visit him on the boat beforehand. And,
like to give him his last rites.
Exactly.
Is that what they call it, the last rites? I'm bad with the religions.
Yeah, yeah. Shook his hand, and took a picture on the boat. And then the priest or bishop got off the boat. And Edward Smith went in, and ended up going down with the ship, like a good Jesuit does, even though he killed how many other Catholics. So it just shows they don't care about their own. You know, it's not about that.
And there was another boat that didn't J.P. Morgan own it? Another boat that was in the area that turned around and didn't go help them and could have saved probably every single one of them?
Actually, it did show up eventually. That would be the Carpathia. But it showed up way after to ensure that it was 4 hours away.
Yeah.
And, so they were there to ensure that the majority of the people were dead that were
I heard staying. A really good interview on this, you know, because I was, like I told you guys before, like I've only been awake for like a year. So what I was doing is, you know, I was looking for some new content. I was talking to my buddy. I'm like, man, what can we look into? And I'm like, you know what I want to look into? I'm like, let's look into the Titanic because there's no way that thing just hit a friggin' iceberg and went down. Let's look into this. So I came across, who's Bob Tuscan? Do you guys know who that is?
Yeah.
No.
Well, he has an interview on the Titanic, and it was great. I have it if you guys want to hear it. It's like a 2-hour interview about the inside job of the Titanic, and it goes over all these things. And that's how I knew about some of this stuff, and it really good.
Have you ever heard of the Balfour Directive?
No.
This was where they gave what was then Palestine, later to become Israel after World War II. But before this was actually during World War I that the Balfour thing, where they gave the Rothschilds pretty much Palestine for getting the U.S. into World War I. Now, how they did that is they conspired with a U.S. general, and they asked him how they could get us into the war because the U.S. at the time was very isolationist. If we weren't being attacked, they wanted nothing to do with it. Then that's the people.
Yep.
Well, what they did was they sent the Lusitania into German U-boat infested waters and leaked to the Germans that it was carrying arms for Britain from the U.S. And that became the battle cry for the United States for the First World War. Remember the Lusitania.
Wow. That's something. I like to look into some of this old history. I don't know nearly enough about World War II.
You won't find it in your regular history.
Oh, I know that, buddy.
Well you know what's crazy here? You guys see a similarity of every event that we just mentioned, except every false flag event besides 9/11 had a boat involved. Tonkin Gulf, USS Maine, USS Liberty, the Titanic, Lusitania.
Even World War II, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor to an extent.
Right.
Right. The boats are symbolic as well. I was listening to an occult video about the occult the other day. And they were saying to tell you the truth, I don't remember the exact. Mike might know why the exact reason for it is, but boats are very symbolic to them, and I don't know. Maybe they just use the plane in the new. You know, even though there wasn't any planes, but you know, even if to take place of a boat for 9/11, I don't know. But it just makes you wonder. Obviously, you know, you guys know the occultism behind 9/11, what those two buildings were to represent, right?
Not really, no.
It goes back to Freemasonry. The two towers represented the two pillars on each side of the Temple of Solomon. And I forget their names. They actually have names.
Boaz
and I can't remember right now.
Starts with a J, I believe.
Oh, Jacobin.
Okay, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. The Building 7 represented the altar in the Temple of Solomon.
Why, though? Why do you say that?
Because they were tearing down, as far as the Temple of Solomon, they were tearing down the pillars and the altar to release, to open up and release these evil spirits, and it was their time. That's what it's symbolic of. And it actually, and people sit there and say, oh, that's a bunch of hooey. But if you take any of the footage, and I don't care what network, what, wherever, even individual footage from bystanders.
Yeah.
When that second plane hit, I have counted at least 10 to 12 faces in the original explosion.
But that explosion you're looking at is fake, though. That's not even a real explosion. So, that second plane's not even real.
It may be.
Right. Well, the fake, second plane wasn't real.
Still
but
symbolic.
Right. They set off pyrotechnics to make it.
Oh,
look
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the explosion might have been real. I hear what you're saying.
Right. It was Hollywood. That's the whole thing. Right. I mean, obviously, the planes don't melt into buildings. We know that. But the fact that they could have, obviously had to make a little show for the people that were on the streets that thought they saw, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And when the one tower came, the first tower that went down, it looked like a dragon coming up out of that.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not so sure about how much of the collapse footage we saw was even real. So,
well, whether it was real or not, the fact
is they still put it in there. So I know what you're saying. Even if it was fake, they still went to the effort to put that in the footage for you to
see. Exactly.
I get what you're saying, though. I get what you're saying. I wasn't really getting you at first. Now I get
it. To go with the symbology of it.
Yeah.
Here's something interesting. The Pentagon was built, the first part of the Pentagon was started
on 9/11.
On 9/11 of 1941, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And the New World Order speech was given on 9/11 from George Bush 10 years ago.
Yeah, 11 years.
By the way, the courtyard, this is something you might not know. The courtyard in the center of the Pentagon is known as Ground Zero.
Wow. That's a term that's used more than just once, though. I mean,
Right. But that isn't kind of prophetic. I mean, here's the Pentagon. Here's this whole thing. It was started building on 9/11 of 41, and the courtyard was purposely named way back then. Ground Zero.
Yeah, and then they purposely did that on 9/11. They picked the date. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bunch of sickos, dude.
That's
what
seriously.
It basically comes down to. They want to follow a bunch of occult stuff and do this crazy stuff on these dates all the time. They're a bunch of sickos. They got something wrong in their head. I never looked at the side of it. I'm not doubting anything what you're saying, because I never looked into the way that they would pick dates for false flag events or anything like that, but the stuff that you guys tell me about the numbers and all that, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, why pick a random date when they're sickos and they're into stuff like that? I'm sure they, you know what I mean?
Here's a good one for you.
There's a great video I watched the other day, Fritz Springmeier. This is from this year, September 10th of this year. He made a video of the symbology of the occultism behind 9/11. Pretty good video.
That's
well.
Cool.
Here's something interesting that you might not realize. Okay, a lot of your logos, of course, I'm sure you probably know. A lot of your logos have different symbols in them.
Yeah, like especially the space programs and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Well. Here's one that's interesting. What is the most popular energy drink on the market right now?
I don't know which one is it. Vitamin water or
Red Bull?
No, that's not an energy drink. The one that you see its symbol stuck on everything.
The Red Bull.
You're close. The other
one. I can't even. I don't know. I don't drink this.
Monster.
Okay, yeah.
Now, here's what's interesting. Their slogan for Monster is Release the Beast. Now, here's where it gets real subtle. You know the claw marks for the M?
Yeah.
They are separated. But if you look at that, that is the Hebraic, one single claw mark is the Hebraic symbol for 6. And there are 3 of them. So the logo for Monster is 666 in Hebrew.
Wow.
And their slogan is Release the Beast. And it is the most popular energy drink out there. And these kids are slapping the stickers on everything. They've got
T-shirts. Wow, that's why they give those stickers out then so much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look who it's paying homage to.
Wow, that's crazy, dude.
Well, you know, and here's another thing. What's the biggest shoe? You know, even right now, I got a pair of them on my feet. Nikes.
Yeah.
Nike. Of course, the symbol is the ring of Saturn. You know, and what is Saturn? Saturn is Luciferian worship. You know, the same thing as people look at worship Saturn is, I believe, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They compare that as the, it's all a cult, you know. Obviously, and Nike was a Greek god. It's a, you know,
yeah, that's the big thing. Red, if you want to go on over to Red Bull, the Red Bull is the other symbol for Moloch.
Right.
And Moloch is the devourer of children. And who are these energy drinks marketed to?
Kids.
Kids.
I never heard any of that. That's pretty crazy, dude.
It may sound crazy, but it's there.
Oh, no. When I say something's crazy, that doesn't mean I don't think it's real. That just means it's crazy.
I realize that.
I don't mean it when the way other people say it. When other people say it's crazy, they think you're crazy. I think you're onto something. I just never looked into that type of stuff, so I just kind of take other people's word for, like, you and we got another host.
That's understandable. Because believe me, it will take you several years to get through everything.
Yeah. See, I've only been awake for like 11 months, so I'm working on it, though.
I've never seen anybody awake for a short amount of time as you are that already absorbed the amount of knowledge that you have, though. Unbelievable.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. I try. I read all day and night. You know what I mean?
Well, when I first started researching heavily, I at the time I happened to be unemployed.
Yeah, and so that gave me a lot of time.
Night and day, just until I was completely exhausted.
Well, here's the deal, guys. I mean, I only woke up less than a year ago, but I mean, when I realized that I was lied to about September 11th, that made me realize, man, they're probably lying about everything, and they are. It's not like they're not. I mean, every week it's something new. Every week. And when I say something new, I'm talking about blockbuster stuff here. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about huge lies.
Watershed events, yeah.
I've been lied to about everything. And I feel like this last year, I've learned more than I have in my whole life. I've had to retrain myself, reschool myself. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's unbelievable. Here comes Obama, breaking news on TV right now, talking about the terrorists, the supposed terror plot.
Oh, God. So this is going to be another big lie. Now, what are they saying that Iraq or that Iran was behind someone was going to assassinate Saudi?
Iran supposedly paid a Mexican drug cartel. And, of course, the Mexican drug cartel ended up being FBI agents. Big coincidence there, right? Well, right. They paid a Mexican drug cartel. $1.5 million to kill this Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States.
Yeah.
And supposedly the Iranian government, people in the Iranian government.
I got a question for you. How many of those Afghanis over there that you've seen on the news or whatever, how many of them are fat?
None of them.
Exactly. So why was it when they did the beheading of that one guy, most of the guys doing the beheading were big, fat, heavy guys?
Oh, because they were.
Oh, yeah.
All
that was a studio job, definitely.
Yeah, it's always a studio job, guys. No. We know that now. It's getting to that point where it's almost always a studio job.
Look at Giffords.
Yep, Giffords totally fake. Yep. Just like everything else, man. Totally staged. That woman never even got shot.
Nope.
And then they give that whole 9/11 story about the kid born on 9/11 that gets taken out by the Gifted shooting just to get the whole attachment between.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know. You know, like subliminally, they want you to attach Jared Lee Loughner to 9/11. It's like,
exactly.
It's absurd.
You know what was insane about the whole thing, too, is they had his supposedly best friend that he hadn't talked to in a couple of years because he got weird, supposedly. But his best friend's father on, talking about he became a conspiracy theorist. He came to our house and showed us loose change. Come on. Why would you bring that out?
You know,
just the way that he came out with it. And obviously we came to find out that they were all actors. Everybody in that was an actor. Total, just like 9/11. It's same thing, only in this one they didn't even try as hard.
This one they didn't even cover up good at all, man. No. They really didn't. I want to look at that Norway thing again, too, because I'm very suspicious about that one.
Oh, yeah.
I really am, especially when they tried to say the guy was like a friggin' farmer and all this, dude. I was like, oh, perfect. Well, he's an organic farmer. We make him a terrorist. Perfect. Perfect.
but then there's so much misinformation, because then you hear he's a Freemason, then you hear he's a he's a right wing, you know, Muslim hater. But then why did he go and kill all his own white people? Didn't really, you know, obviously he was MK'd or didn't exist, or, you know,
look at his pictures. Do they not look like they were taken in a professional studio? Have you seen his pictures? Right. Like his pictures of him with the vest on and all that. Those look like they're taken in a professional studio, man. Like. Looks like a photo shoot to me.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing of, you know, the Giffords thing. You go through the Pima County Sheriff's thing, and you look at all these, you know, it was done by a professional company, the same one that shot the whole, you know, and there's not much video from the event, but you see the people actually wearing the badges that are shown in this thing called the X-Plan. It's just amazing. You know, in the next plan, they showed the colors of what was going to be the witnesses, the victims, the sobbing, you know, people that were, you know, the side people. It's just amazing that these, you could see it on some of them. And they're all walking around drinking water, and you can see the spot where they had just sat down and taken lunch break and everything. It's just insane.
It is insane, and it's so upsetting to me when I try and describe this to people, and they still don't even want to believe this. Like, you guys can't believe that they'd fake some news and pretend they shot somebody or pretend they killed a bunch of people. I mean, come on, man. Come on. That's all ties into it, too, Justin. That all ties into the Fast and Furious. Think about it. Arizona, gun laws, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It all ties into the same agenda. That's all part of the same plan. Get the guns out of our hands. They've been trying to do that for how long now?
Well, one thing, too, is I think that they're waiting, though, because they want us to turn them on each other first. You know, and then after that, once we have a civil war almost, because, you know, what if they end up turning this Tea Party type against this Occupation Wall Street type, and you know, just a new left-right paradigm, and, you know, you get people out there shooting people. Then the people will be begging for guns to be taken away, you know, once some innocent people die and whatnot, you know?
They would love that. You know that. They love chaos. They don't let any crisis go unwasted. Go wasted, I mean.
Especially ones that they cause.
Oh, right. Of course. Of course.
Yeah,
man.
Those are a lot easier.
Of course. But yeah, that one, they didn't even cover up at all. I mean, like, you know, Justin, I never looked at it. I looked at it for 5 minutes that one night. I mean, you know by the first video, you see. I mean, it's obvious. So obvious, guys. I mean, there's no blood on this woman. I mean, well, at least you can't see any, and there should be tons of it. Nobody's putting any pressure on her wound. She's just got a gauze sitting on her head, and it's just everything looks wrong about the scene. Everything.
After someone gets bucked in the head, you're going to have a congresswoman, by all means, too. You know, you're going to have a team on her like flies on shit. Like, you know, you know, she's not gonna. It just didn't make any sense. Just in the quick recovery, they never showed us any picture. Come on.
And they said that she couldn't breathe on her own. But when you look at the pictures, nobody's got an oxygen mask or anything to her. She's just laying down in the stretcher, just with a white gauze on her head. A white gauze. You never see any wounds. You never see. You never see Loughner going into court, leaving court. You never see any of that. I wonder if he even exists. I'm starting to think he's not even a patsy. He's just a made up identity.
Exactly. He was a vixen that was morphed with a Glenn Beck picture. That's all he was. He was an actor morphed with a Glenn Beck picture. You know, and there's so much even more to that. Just the actors are all, you know, Bradley Manning, another actor. There's no Bradley Manning. There's nobody. That's why they wouldn't show him to the congressman, because there is no Bradley Manning. You know, WikiLeaks was based on that, and it was all a lie.
That's unbelievable. I never even looked into that either. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things too. You look at right away and you say, you know, I was suspicious of it at the time. This son, I was calling out, you know, last winter and stuff, and especially when I heard that they wouldn't let the congressman see this kid. You know, it's like obviously they cannot. You know, if they're really treating him bad, they cannot treat him bad for a couple of days, so that, you know, and say, okay, come in on Tuesday. You know, like, come on. But the fact that they won't even let him see, you know, no, that's crazy. They're congressmen here. Just like they won't let him see the golden Fort Knox, because there is none.
Yeah. You know, just like we couldn't see any picture of Bin Laden's body.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the only way you were going to do that is if they dug it up from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I actually read on, I think it was a Fetzer article, but check this out. He actually said that he believes it was they kept it as a popsicle the whole time.
Well, there's a lot of people backing that story. That's not just Fetzer saying it.
That very well could be.
They said that a long time ago. They were going to put him on ice and roll him out later when the time was right. They actually said that.
Well, that could be.
I forget who said that, and I wish I knew. But there was definitely somebody in the administration that kind of said that on the down low. Well, obviously it wasn't too much on the down low, but he said it.
Right. Yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah, that very well could be that they held the body all that time just so that they could have their Fast and Furious.
Or he could be out there still somewhere. Maybe he's, you know, maybe he's one of these actors too, and he's, you know.
Maybe he's Barack Obama. Have you ever seen the... Have you ever seen the comparison?
Yep.
Oh, man. It makes you... I don't... It's one that I don't really believe. I believe they could be brothers or something like that. But, you know, and you know, how about the fact that Obama has these brothers and sisters in Indonesia that are dirt poor? There's so much weird stuff about this, but he was just the chosen one.
Man, he's a CIA asset.
It's because of his mother.
Yeah, she's CIA, too.
No, she's also an illegitimate Rothschild.
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
Just like Hitler was an illegitimate Rothschild.
Yep, totally. The rabbit hole gets very deep.
Yeah.
I've been searching for the bottom of the rabbit hole. I haven't found it yet, but I'm pretty sure it ends in hell.
Yeah. Either that or Hollow Earth, right?
I'm
pretty sure it is in hell.
Or the, Mike, you might be closer than anyone. Might be in the Denver International Airport underground there.
Oh, nice. We're coming your way.
I have to drop. I have to go down.
There, it's getting nuked.
I have to stoop down a mile before I'm even down to the Denver level.
Yeah, that place is. I love to see the inside of that place.
No. What I mean is, I actually live at 10,200 feet above sea level.
Where the hell are you?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Where are you?
Leadville, Colorado. Highest incorporated city in the United States.
Oh wow!
Oh really?
Yep.
Nice.
You right?
Yep. You'll be living through the extinction level event, unlike the rest of us, then.
I'm optimistic. I don't think that's coming.
Yeah, I know. I just it makes you wonder when they release that Navy map for the for 2011, and it showed how many parts of the country would be flooded in the end, and it was like, you know, it looked just like Edgar Casey's map that he drew up years ago. And the halfway up the Mississippi River is gone. The east, you know, parts of the east coast are gone. You know, all along the coastline, a good chunk of California is missing. It's amazing just to look at and see. The actual Navy put this out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When did they put that out?
Last January. Yeah, all you gotta do is search in Google. Yeah, put in a Navy flood map or Edgar Casey map, something like that. It should bring it right up.
Oh, I never even heard of that. Well, I mean, I've heard of it, but I mean, I've never seen the map of it. So what's up? Bo's not here?
Yeah, the outro would have come and gone, but Bo's not online right now.
I have to give somebody a ride in about 20 minutes. I can stay for another 20 and do like half a show. But
yeah, sorry, I meant to play it when there was a pause.
I'll do what I can.
So, no, but I was going to say about the rabbit hole is, you know, the way I look at it is when you prove what you learn when you go down the rabbit hole, you basically clear away what the dirt is that made the hole. So you find out you never were in a hole to begin with. It just looks like you are to everyone else because they don't know what you know and what you've proved.
Yeah, that's very true, man. That's very true. Because you try and tell somebody something, and they tell you you're wrong, but they don't even know the information that you've seen leading up to it. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, so you find out that you always were at the bottom of the hole. It's just that, you know, there's all this imaginary dirt that everybody's walking around on that they see when you tell them a real thing, something that's real that they didn't know about. If they don't believe you, it looks like you're in a rabbit hole, and they don't see you.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, that's what I think the original analogy rabbit hole means, is when you go down the rabbit hole, you're learning what is real. What's, you know, you're learning about your nature, your origin.
I tell you what, this last year has been a crazy ride for me. It's been a crazy ride, man. It's been every day, every week, something new.
Man, you know, talk about demonizing the truth movement. Well, maybe the 9/11 truth movement, but I declare that I have always been a truther.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 notwithstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who argues against, you know, that is arguing against the truth, period. You know?
Yeah.
So that's why I want to talk about 9/11. There's all the, like, I was known as a negative. I was always so negative. What I was actually was critical.
Yeah.
I was critical about a lot of things.
And you're probably right.
I should have been.
Yeah, you were right about most of them. Of course.
Hello, guys. I just thought I'd pop in if that's all right.
Please.
Okay.
Because I heard talk about rabbit holes and somebody mentioned Norway and the Utøya and Oslo bombings. So when I was just describing a rabbit hole, a literal hole, to someone earlier today who lives just a few meters away from it, a very good friend of mine who I won't divulge the name of, who I spoke to on Skype earlier today because he was describing his first UFO sighting, which was interesting in itself. And then I started to try to describe to him the underground world, a whole labyrinth, an underground world that exists below Oslo. When you're walking around in the streets of Oslo, there is, in fact, it's not difficult to prove that it exists, but there is, in fact, an extensive underground labyrinth that connects governmental buildings, the American Embassy, the Royal Castle, which is in the center of town just up the hill from the American Embassy. And
I actually heard something about this before.
Oh, right. And there's a hole, and you can actually see it on Google Earth. It's a rectangle with bars going across. I've walked up to this hole several times and looked down into it. It goes down many, many meters from what is visible. I mean, you can see so much from there, but I've stood there many times and I can hear people moving around down there. And when I say down there, it's far down, and their voices are resonating and bouncing around. You can see long staircases going down the one side and levels that go down I don't know how far. And it's one of the more obvious examples of this underground labyrinth that is very hard to find. I used many years, actually. Well, not many years, but for many years I've been interested in finding more detailed plans of these that describe and show this underground labyrinth. And there are many entrances to bunkers and stuff that everybody can see driving around in Oslo. But people in general are oblivious to how extensive the activity is below our feet as we walk around in town. And when you start looking around, it really makes you wonder. So I mentioned this to my friend, and he's going to go up there tomorrow, I think, because it's just up the road from him, this hole. And he's going to have a look. And and then it comes... I just thought I'd just throw in a little thing about the Oslo bombing and Utøya massacre. Actually, I was in Oslo the day before it happened, on the 21st. And something interesting happened there, but I think I'll miss that bit. It's a bit kind of paranormal, esoteric, numbers coming through and strange messages and strange way that I got a message. Anyway, it might have been deliberate. It might be coincidence. I doubt it. I had a funny feeling because of that, and just a feeling I had that something was going to go down soon. The railway tracks were closed off for work for an extensive period, so I had to take a taxi to get home. Anyway, I'll tell that story another time, because it might be quite interesting for some people. The point I'm wanting to get to is that, yes, somebody already mentioned it, how you see him dressed up as a Freemason, you see him dressed up as a super soldier or some sort of a Templar, a this, a that. I mean, what is this, a fancy dress party? What are you, Mr. Breivik?
And didn't they look like they were professionally done photos, too? Like, they didn't look like they were photos they just found in his drawer. It's like he sat there for an afternoon and tried on a costume.
He actually describes this. He describes this himself, that he even had a makeup artist, and that's the way it's meant to be done, you know. He's a bit narcissistic and so on and so forth. And, yeah.
Can I ask you something? I want to have you clarify one thing with me, okay? When you're talking about, you know, the people moving around down there underneath, right? Are we talking about like a Denver airport type of government type facility, or are we talking about like a hollow earth type of theory? What are we talking more along the lines of here?
Well, what I'm suspecting, you might be able to connect this and other underground facilities to some sort of hollow earth thing, but I'm not dragging it that far on this.
Okay, I just wasn't sure. It's fine if you are.
A bit like the Denver airport type of scenario where you have.
Okay. Yeah, because I had heard that it was like that. I didn't know if you were maybe saying it was gone a step farther than that.
Well, who knows? I haven't really been walking down this. Yeah.
Isn't the world survival seed bank the one where they have all the seeds? Isn't that in Norway, or is that?
Oh, that's on an island that belongs partly to Norway called Svalbard, which is
it's in the Arctic, right?
You have to go north from Norway.
Yeah.
Towards the North Pole. On the way, you will come across an island called Svalbard. Be careful if you go there, because there are a lot of polar bears going around, and there's some rather naive tourists that have been eaten on their little holidays more than once. And anyway, enough about polar bears. That's where you find the Svalbard seed bank, and you can also see a video, it's probably still on YouTube, where Bill Gates and our Norwegian pantomime Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg, the Bilderberger attendee, and so is his father, are doing the same kind of song and dance thing at the globalist song and dance thing at the Svalbard seed bank. It's a while since I've seen that.
Just in case something happens.
What I thought was ironic about the seed vault, they did it on Iceland, and that's where that huge volcano blew up.
There are several seed banks.
There are several seed banks.
I know there's several of them, but I thought it was ironic that was one of them. Like poetic justice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, recently I found out that, you know, but first I was wondering, I had a few question marks about what sort of seeds is it they're storing there, and then suddenly...
All of them.
Including both GMO and non-GMO seeds. That's the question.
I don't think they have any GMO. I think they're just...
Oh, yes, they do. That's what I've recently uncovered. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, okay.
That's news to me.
Yeah, it was news to me too, because I wouldn't expect them to store GMO seeds. It wouldn't make any sense. So, I mean,
Because if they ever needed to use them again, David, then, you know, once they have the whole population down to what they want it, if they want to kill off more of that, then all they got to do is plant those GMO seeds out there, so then they don't have to remake them.
Right. That's a very good point that you've got there.
Are they storing them in the same seed vaults, or are they storing them in their own seed vaults?
I would think they could do it together, because they're inert.
If they're storing them in the same seed vaults, then right there, it's right wide open for them to contaminate all of the stores in that vault.
Each of those seeds are sealed off.
But I'm saying, if somebody wanted to, that's an excuse right there. It's all set up. Somebody, if they decide to, they can just go in and take some of the GMOs and dump them in a little bit in each of the packs of regular seeds and contaminate everything. They're contaminating the biosphere anyway. What's a couple of seed vaults compared to doing the whole globe?
Here's what they're gonna do is they're gonna pull the plug on a poor country, and they're gonna starve them to death, and that's how they're gonna bring down some population. With the terminated seeds, you can't replant these things. Just think about it. You cannot replant them. All they have to do is pull the plug on you. Once you've gone so far down the road of GMOs, you can't even plant your regular crops in the soil anymore. You know what I mean? Once that stuff's been in there so long, and all the friggin' Roundup's been sprayed all over it, you're not even going to be able to plant anything. Never mind that there's not going to be any regular seeds around for you to get. All they have to do is pull the plug for like a season on a continent, even a continent. They could starve a whole continent. You know that?
Well, we all know they want to destroy 90% of the population anyway.
It's literally written in stone. Yeah. I know, Georgia Guidestones. And I think that once they do, say they do go after a whole continent, let's say they starve Africa, for instance, okay?
Already doing that.
Yeah, and then they have those seeds because maybe they know that they might not be able to stop. They might end up trying to starve everybody after that because they're sick in the head. You know what I mean? They'll end up trying to do it to everybody. Who knows?
But here's the thing. I mean, you ever notice how all of these man-made diseases like AIDS and, you know, all these bioweapons, they're all tested in third world countries to begin with. Number one, they're getting rid of some useless eaters. Because these people have no resources. Actually, they do. The countries that are third world countries that have the poorest populations are the highest in resources. But the other thing about it is that because of where they live, the rest of the world just looks at it as it was natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't question it because of their environment.
It's such bullcrap. People think that because they live in third world countries, it's all diseased and all this. How about, like we were talking earlier today about the vaccines, okay? We give the most vaccines, right? So you think our kids would be the healthiest? No, we have the highest infant mortality rate, even worse than behind countries like Cuba and stuff like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, look at the indigenous tribes that had never seen a white man or never seen anybody other than themselves, and especially no modern technology, where we've gone in and vaccinated them or didn't vaccinate them even. Just because we were carrying diseases, went in there and killed these people off.
Because
we were carrying these diseases that they've never had and had no immunities to.
It's crazy. Look
at the American Indians that they gave blankets to that were infested with smallpox.
Yeah.
That's
knowing
bad.
That they had no immunity to it.
And they gave people syphilis.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's disgusting because, you know, myself personally, if I was to contract syphilis, I would rather do it the traditional way than have somebody giving it to me through a blanket or something.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
At least I had fun in the process.
Just to illustrate how far the tentacles reach, the so-called, and I have to translate from Norwegian here, Norsk Folkehelseinstitutt would be the Norwegian People's Health Institute, was actually founded by John D. Rockefeller in around about 1913 to 1914. So that's how far those tentacles extend, and that can also explain, well, at least my research shows forced lobotomies and forced sterilizations in Norway continuing all the way up to the year 1976 by these very same institutes or hospitals and institutions that are connected to the same tentacle. So there you go. Another example of the Rockefellers' so-called health